Welcome into another edition of the Pick Aside Podcast, NFL Picks Edition for Week 11. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky with you as always. Available on YouTube as always, youtube.com/@PickAsideESPN. Go there, please like a video, hit the subscribe button, leave us a comment. Podcasting, wherever you get your podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. You guys know the drill. Tyler, how are we feeling?
I'm great. How was the birthday celebration for you? How are you feeling this morning?
It was good. Slept in a little extra.
There you go.
I took a lot of flack because I did the birthday off of work. Mm-hmm. People are like, you're turning 31, man. You can't really get away with taking work off for your birthday. And I'm like, but I'm not. It's not the day of, it's the day after, because I just don't want to have to think about waking up in the morning. I don't think that's all that bad.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, there's no better way to ring in the Amari DiMercato year, quite like heading out, hanging out with friends, and sleeping in the next day.
Thank you. Yeah, last night you tried to tell me it's my Riley Green year, and I got really angry.
I was like, oh, is Max Scherzer 31? Because I know he's 31 with the Nats, and then
37 with the Tigers.
37 in Detroit. So
I got 6 years till my Max Scherzer year. Anyway, I do want to mention, too, baseball quickly before we get started, just a like sports talk thing. Thank God Aaron Judge won AL MVP. My faith remains in the voters. They did the right thing.
Yes, I agree. Listen, Cal Raleigh was fantastic, all right? And it'd be one thing. To be honest, I'll say this. Like, if Cal Raleigh was in the NL, I wonder if he would have had a better chance. Just because Shohei didn't really pitch that much. And you're talking about 60 home runs, like... on top of that, elite defense too. You can say what you want about, oh, maybe the scorekeepers are fudging the numbers a little bit, but I wonder if he would have had a better chance in the NL.
I kind of think he would, because like this is what Judge led all of baseball, not just the AL. These are the stats he led all of baseball in: wins above replacement, batting average, on base percentage, slug, OPS, OPS plus, obviously. ROBA, whatever that is, RBAT plus, whatever that, like, if it's an offensive statistic, Aaron Judge led Major League Baseball.
Except just raw home runs.
Yeah, like that's like the traditional stuff, RBIs, home runs. He didn't lead there, but every other offensive metric, he led baseball.
Yeah.
So you don't have a shot if you're playing in the AL against him. I do think Cal Raleigh could have won NL MVP, but I thought that the story would win out, that it was the greatest offensive season ever by a catcher who is a good catcher behind the dish, even if the scorekeepers are adjusting stuff. He's good.
Yeah.
And I thought the narrative might win out, but I appreciate the voters doing the right thing. It's like everybody learned, and I'm glad Miguel Cabrera won it. As a guy who grew up rooting for the Tigers and watching Miguel Cabrera, Mike Trout should have won those MVPs. And everybody finally learned the lesson of, like, we got to just give the MVP to the best player, not the best story.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. This is on the basketball side of things, but the Derrick Rose MVP, like, LeBron James is the MVP, especially in those late 2000s, early 2010s. Who was really the MVP of all those years? It was LeBron. It was Kobe. Those you're talking about are the best players in the league. There's even the case for, like, Dwayne Wade in some of those years, too. Sure. The story went out in, what was it, 2011, I think it was, or 2010. Story went out, which is fine. It made 13-year-old me very happy. But now that I kind of see it from a different lens, I understand who these awards should really be going to.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA is a little different too, because like you could make an argument throughout the 2010s, LeBron should have been the MVP every single year, and they just aren't going to give the MVP to that guy every single year. The voter fatigue stuff sets in.
Yep.
All right, you ready to get to the NFL?
Let's do it.
Let's break it down. We'll do every game for Week 11. I do love this board. I mentioned that to you yesterday, but I don't. I stay where I'm at with the international stuff. 2-3-7 teams traveling to Madrid. Tua against probably Marcus Mariota. Like, I just 8:30 a.m. kick.
Didn't travel, so
I want to play
quarterback
to do
in Spain when you're in America.
Can I tell you, if I had to bet it, it would be the Dolphins, and the reason would be I don't think Washington cares. I mean, you got Payne, the defensive tackle, ejecting himself from the Lions game and then missing this trip entirely from a suspension. And I'm just like, their defense is horrible. Their offense looks awful. And I just don't, I think they're in pack it in territory.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you too. Like if I had to play, and you're talking to me inside a field goal too, with Miami, like Miami is, the record sucks, but it's not like they don't have good players. Like Jaylen Waddle has really shown what he can look like when he is option number one on a football field. Tua has his moments. Devon Achane can run the football pretty well. That offensive line is good enough for what they want to do. Defensively, yeah, a little depleted. Nothing really to write home about defensively for this team. But overall, as a whole, like they're not the worst roster on paper. It's just, it's tough to bet on a team like that when A, you're going overseas, and B, you question what their motivation factor is, especially with a head coach who looks like he could be on the way out too. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm in stay away mode on this one.
Yeah. It's just nothing interesting. It, like under maybe would intrigue me at 47.5. It feels like a big number for an international game.
Yeah. Especially one that they haven't played at before. Like this is the first game in Spain, I believe.
Yeah.
Madrid. So who knows what like the turf is like. That can only hurt you, I feel like. So that's the one thing I would be on the lookout for.
The biggest problem for me on this, honestly, is I don't know that I'm going to be peeling myself out of bed at 8:30 a.m. to watch Commanders Dolphins.
Yeah.
It's just not, there's no intrigue here at all. 2-3-7 teams in an island overseas game. If I wake up at 9:15, I'll catch it from there on and I don't have to have any action. I might not, who knows? You don't even really need to watch this. All right, let's get to the noon slate. Cincy and Pittsburgh's going to kick us off. The Steelers are 5.5-point favorites at home. Totals 49. I don't have a play on this yet, but I had a lean, and it would be Cincinnati for me. Okay. I think just divisional game, big dog. Flacco sounds like he's going to start. Their offense has a little bit more oomph to it with Flacco, I think.
Yeah.
The other thing, Pittsburgh between the tackles against the run, awful. Jace Brown is really good. Like I think the Bengals can score points in this.
Yeah, and that's part of why I like over 49 in this game. I get that's a monster number for a divisional game, but I think it's fitting for what these defenses are at this point. Cincinnati has arguably the worst defense, especially scoring-wise. And then on the flip side, you haven't really had anything special come out of Pittsburgh. So, yeah, there's offensive weapons in this game, and anyone can score on Cincinnati. We can talk about what a shit show it was Sunday night for Pittsburgh against LA on that Sunday night game, and it was, but against Cincinnati, the JV team can score. The local JV team can score. Go to Waddles High School, go to Moeller. They could score a couple touchdowns on this Cincinnati defense right now. So yeah, I'm with you. If I had to pick a side on the teams and the spread, I would probably lean Cincinnati, but it's just, this is one of those games that can just be played in multiples of seven. Yep. And if Cincinnati loses the game, you could just be on the wrong end of the seven. So I'm going to go with the thing that I like the most. I like over. I think Cincy's going to be able to score a lot. And I think that this Pittsburgh team is going to be able to score a lot. I kind of like the mindset of where this Cincinnati team is right now. They understand what this is. Yep. And it's funny because all the my confidence in the world in Cincy right now as a team to maybe make the playoffs is stemming from Joe Burrow, not necessarily his availability, but just kind of the candidness that he has shown. Like, listen, we're not getting a wild card spot, guys. We got to win the division. It's the only way in. And the division is wide open. And he's right. It is wide open. I get that Baltimore is the hot team right now, the favorite trending towards winning this division at the moment. But that's not to say it's not wide open, since he's a game behind them and with two to play against them. So you take care of your business there. You've got a chance to make this thing a special season.
Well, and it's fascinating, too, because they activated him off injured reserve. Yeah. Got 21 days to activate him to the actual active roster. Did they activate him this week? Did they put him on the roster?
They put him in. They opened his window to return. So he's got the 21-day
window.
Yeah,
he might return on that Thanksgiving game against Baltimore.
Yeah. They're saying that's his target return.
That could be the Joe Burrow return. And if you beat Pittsburgh, get a home game against New England where anything can happen the week after, then you go into that Baltimore game, you're back at potentially 5-6. you've survived to that point. The problem I have with Cincy is it's not like offense has been their problem. It's not like I can look at it and go, oh, well, if they had Joe Burrow, they'd be winning these games. Yeah. You're scoring 40 points and you're still losing. Right. It's the defense is so bad. I can't get past it. It's probably why it's a stay away. I do kind of like the over. I may add it, but I want to get through the rest of the card and figure out for sure where I'm going. I think you're on the right side of it, though. Let's do Carolina and Atlanta, which is also pretty gross. Atlanta's laying 3.5. The total's 41.5. We've loved Carolina in these dog spots, but Tyler, we got to be serious for a minute. They lost at home to the Saints last week.
Right.
And it was a horrible performance where my biggest fears about this team came to light. Bryce Young stinks. It's a great offensive line. It's an elite running game. You have a good play caller in Dave Canales, and you can't throw the football. He's just terrible. I think they're frisky enough because they're good up front, both sides of the football, but I don't know that I'm racing to bet the Panthers here getting 3.5.
The one thing I would say, and I'm with you, I'm more on the stay away side here. I don't have any action in this game at all. But the last time we saw a team lose to the Saints, you remember when it was?
It was the Giants lost outright, and then they trucked the Eagles.
Yes. So, like, this is kind of that gross spot to live in where it's like, oh, this team sucks. They just lost this game, and then all of a sudden they're a dog. Now, I think it's a little bit different with Atlanta on the other side, because I don't know, this is one of those like I feel good about Atlanta type of weeks, but I don't know if I feel good enough to bet it when it's sitting at 3.5. So I'm just staying away altogether, but I would not be surprised to see Carolina bounce back and outright win this game.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised with any outcome. Like, if Atlanta blows them out, it wouldn't shock me. If Carolina wins, it wouldn't shock me. There's nothing that I would be surprised enough about that I think I'm getting value and laying more than 3 with the Falcons. Dude, the Falcons stink. They haven't figured out how to win games. You got to lay more than 3. Like, their best path to winning games right now, I think, is late field goals, and they have kicking problems. So I'm good. I'm not going to bet this one. Can we save ourselves a little time and just like skip over Houston and Tennessee? Cause I'm also pretty good here. Yeah. I think it's just gross. Like, if anything, it would be the under again the last time these two teams played, and there were no points scored. But Stroud's out. The number is plummeted. The 37.5. Tennessee, you know, is terrible. Houston defensively, maybe they score some points. I'm not interested in any part of this.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, Green Bay and the New York Football Giants in the Meadowlands. Green Bay is a touchdown favorite on the road. I would love to bet the Packers here, but again, like, as much as I love this board, it is not these early games. I don't see value here, and the Packers are a huge favorite public side. I'm also not getting involved on the Giants because I don't know what what Jameis Winston is. I don't know.
I don't think anyone knows.
Do we just stay away from this one too, or is it a potential underplay with the Packers' offensive issues?
Yeah, I'm rolling with the under here in this game, and maybe it's the game where Josh Jacobs' season wakes up. It could be with the way that this team struggles to stop the run, but I like under 42.5. It's a spot I'm playing this week. The Packers, you brought up the offensive issues. I don't know what the hell the Giants are going to look like. Yeah, there's probably going to be like an opening drive spark, and maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe the real way to play this is to play a live under. If you think that the Giants are just going to get like that Jameis bump out of the gate and then offense kind of shuts down after that, it's still a great, great Packer defense. Like, even in these losses that they're having, the defense is stepping up and playing at an elite level, a top five level. And with all the weapons that are missing from this New York offense, listen, they're solid players, but you're not replacing Malik Nabers with much. Wandale Robinson's a solid football player. He ain't Malik Nabers. On the flip side, like, running the football, Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, you take your pick. Neither of them scare me all that much. They're fine players. They're running backs. At the end of the day, it's going to be, what can your offensive line do to neutralize this? And I just look on the Green Bay side, and I see a lot of really, really good football players there and guys that can stop the run. So I'm not rushing to bet a side here. I think it can go either way, but I like under 42.5 in this game.
I think I'm going to join you on it. I think I'm going to pull the trigger. Like the Giants side of things, I have a harder time believing that they're just going to turn into an offensive juggernaut than not. Like now you're down.
The Packers are so banged up on that offensive line. You just lost Elgton Jenkins, yep, probably for the rest of the year too.
Yeah, so you go up against this Packer defense. Like Jameis has held the ball forever for his entire career. He's probably going to take some sacks here. He might turn the ball over. You don't have Scadabo. You don't have Neighbors. You don't have Dart. There's just, I don't see how you're scoring points. Packers side of things, do they have a Matt LaFleur issue with the play calling? A lot of people have gotten on the first down thing. Like I've read articles this week that they're running the ball on first down too much. I don't think that's the issue. I think there is a little bit of a lack of creativity in their play calling right now, and it probably stems from injury. But the number of times that Jordan Love on critical downs is asked to throw a YOLO ball is a problem. And it's been like, that's kind of Matt LaFleur's whole career in Green Bay.
Well, I think another problem too is just the duplicity at receiver. It feels like they're all sort of clones of each other. And then you've got like Christian Watson, who's like your speedster downfield. And I guess Matthew Golden's a little bit of that too. But I just feel like you've got too much of the same guy at receiver. There is no true difference maker right now, especially with Jaden Reed out, who is the best of the group. But it's not like he's some stud wide receiver one. He's like a fine wide receiver two at best. They don't have that difference making receiver. And if they had one of those, I think that would open things up and help them as a team. I'm trying to think of like who's going to be that receiver that you can go out and get. But even still, like, it's a tough thing to do when you don't have any first round picks to trade. You kind of have to buy low on a guy or get a guy who's in the back end of his career. You know, like a name that would have made sense before he got injured would have been Tyreek Hill. If you could have found a way to bring him to Green Bay, then all of a sudden you could have been working with something.
Or hear me out, if the Dolphins had a reasonable price on Jalen Waddle, maybe they could have gotten Jalen Waddle.
But he's still young enough where it's like, you should be asking for a first-round pick, and that's something Green Bay doesn't have.
Yeah, it's true. I lean your way here. I do think the offensive struggles continue, at least for another week, especially you lose your center. They haven't figured out what to do amid the Tucker Kraft stuff. I don't want to lay big points. I would be fucking floored if the Packers lose this game. But I'm not laying 7 with them, and I like where you're at with the under, so I'll go under 42.5 with you.
All right,
that brings us to the local intrigue. Bears, Vikings. Vikings laying 2.5, depending on where you look. This has gotten to 3. I've seen 3.5 at points this week. Now we're balancing back out at 2.5. Why? Because the Bears have become a heavily publicly bet side this week. Tyler, I'm going to piss everybody off. I am playing the Vikings. I'm laying the 2.5. I know everybody's getting a little high on the supply of Caleb Williams, the late game stuff, the miracle comebacks, and as you should, as a fan, it should be exciting, and you're 6-3, and you should be enjoying it. I just think this line is telling you, you're a 6-3 team going on the road to a 4-5 Vikings team, and you're getting a field goal. The book is telling you a little bit about what you really are, which is you're 6-3 with a negative point differential and a terrible defense, and you've caught a number of, I will say, lucky breaks. Mm-hmm. It's lucky that Jackson Dart got concussed. Like, it's lucky that you've faced backup quarterback galore. It's lucky that Jaden Daniels put the ball on the mat. Blocking field goals is fluky. Like, you've put really nice wins together that you shouldn't apologize for, but I think this is where the rubber meets the road. You are going to Minnesota against one of the league's best defenses. Grenard might not play, but that's really not a big deal because they have other pass rushers and they'll blitz their ass off. The bigger problem I have is you have no pass rush to bring down JJ McCarthy, and that was week 1 when Darisaw didn't play. Now their O-line's healthy. I don't know how you're getting home.
I agree with a lot of that stuff there. I was on your side, and then I kept digging in and looking through more and more of these numbers, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to stay away.
I think that's the way to do it, too.
Because my big problem is, like the pass rush is probably not going to get home against a full and healthy Minnesota offensive line. However, that doesn't mean JJ is not going to find a way to give the Bears the ball.
Fair.
And it's something that really scares me in this game. And you look at a lot of the offensive numbers for this Minnesota team, they're outside the top 25 in offensive EPA per rush, EPA per pass.
Yep.
So the offense doesn't scare me for Minnesota. And maybe it should a little bit more because yeah, those EPA numbers can tell me what they want, but it's a little bit different when you've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison going up against Nashawn Wright and Tyreek Stevenson, as opposed to some of the other better corners that they'll face over the course of the season. I still believe in this Bears offense. I think they'll do a pretty good job this week. I just wonder if it's going to be enough to win. And when we're looking at a number that's inside of three, it's really tough for me to bet a dog like that. So I'm full on staying away in this game. I think the Bears offense will be able to operate pretty nicely, but I also think that Minnesota could have its way. And to be honest, if Minnesota takes care of the football, I think they probably win this game by 10, or a game that maybe feels like a 10-point win, where it's like you're up 10 late, Bears get a touchdown or a field goal late to make it a one-possession game. We do the onside nonsense, and then it's all signed, sealed, delivered after that. So I'm just staying away in this game.
That's been every Bears game, though. It's always like
chaos.
You feel like you're going to lose until the final 3 minutes of the game, and then all of a sudden you're pulling the rabbit out of the hat again.
Yeah. And you can't handicap for that, really.
No.
The way that Caleb Williams has played in the fourth quarter.
And that's my whole point here is, like, I do buy the offense is legit. I do believe the record says something about you. Like, you're better coached. You're finishing games. You're learning how to win. You're closing stuff out. But I also think there's a lack of believability in it when it's you had 10 points through 55 minutes against the Giants and then needed multiple breaks to happen to win that game. Mm-hmm. Like a blocked field goal against the Raiders, a fluke handoff fumble against Washington. Like, the one time you went up against a real team in this stretch in Baltimore, you got punked. And that's where I'm kind of just, I think this is, like I said, rubber meets the road here. I like the run that the Bears are on. I don't think this by any means ends their season. I still believe they're going to make the playoffs. It's just, I'm going to be on the side of the Vikings in this game. That's it. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I hope that I'm wrong. This is a little bit like what I did with Tampa a week ago, betting them against the Patriots. Kind of what I've done with the Patriots all year, which is these numbers are getting a bit absurd. You need to prove it to me. I'm going to fade you until you make me stop giving me a reason to do that. Last week it was, if the Patriots win, I'll lose the bet, and it is what it is. They'll have proven they're a contender. This is kind of where I'm at with the Bears this weekend. I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the Vikings, and if you go up to Minnesota and you win, then we're good here. I'll believe it going forward that you're legit. Unless, I mean, if it's another rabbit out of a hat situation, then I don't know what you do, but we'll find out.
At least
out.
You're doing it on the road here.
True. I just like, at some point, a convincing start-to-finish victory out of this team. Before I put the crown on them and say they can contend for the division, I'd like a complete game victory.
Yeah.
All right. Tampa, Buffalo. Buffalo laying 5.5. Obviously coming off a horrendous loss. As they've lost 3 out of 5 here. They have hit their midseason swoon. But now it's temperature turns up for the Bills a bit here, I think. Like, you're pretty much out of the division race at this point. New England has put a chokehold on the AFC East. And you're coming home and you need to kind of hold serve here if you want any hope of keeping involved in getting a home playoff game. Feels unlikely at this point. Bucks side of things, I loved them preseason. I still think they're going to win that division, but I am getting a little worried. It feels like the sustainability of Baker Mayfield's late game heroics are falling apart a little bit. The health is starting to meet them where it shouldn't. I really like the Bills side here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like it a lot this week, and it's the bounce back thing. And usually out of these swoons that we've seen Buffalo have in the past, they just start pumping teams. Like, you're talking about 38-14, stuff like that. You're talking about big-time blowouts. And 5.5, like anything inside of a touchdown, I kind of like for Buffalo. I really do. I just think – and, like, their defense, yeah, it hasn't been great. You gave up, 30 to the Dolphins last week. But we kind of saw that. Like, I don't think a Dolphins win was all that shocking to you and I, just because, hey, you play these nooners in Miami in November and December, and these teams from the north, there's no way to prepare for it, and you're just not ready for it. So it's tough to get yourself in physical condition to play in these games. So I like Buffalo. I think this is a Josh Allen bounce back spot against this Tampa Bay defense. That's solid. And I get that Buffalo's a little banged up in this game. Looks like no Dalton Kincaid.
There might be
some offensive linemen missing too. But yeah, I just think that this Buffalo team, they're going to want to get James Cook back on track too, because when he's going well, that's when this offense hums. And they just were not able to establish him last week.
Do you know what they remind me of a little bit when they go through these moments is like in college, Georgia. Georgia will have occasional spots where you're like, boy, they're just lagging through games. And then they'll have a game like this pop up and they'll just murder somebody legitimate. Yeah. You're like, oh, we should have seen this coming. Like, I think Buffalo's in one of those spots. It wouldn't stun me if Tampa loses this by 3 touchdowns. This feels like one of those games where they just dial 101 on the black and kill someone. And you're like, oh, yeah, the Bills, they're still really good.
Yep. And you got Tampa going up to Orchard Park. Like, it's not going to, I don't know what the exact weather's going to be, but who knows what it's going to look like up there. You got a team from the south coming north. Let me pull up the weather real quick. 39 degrees with 17 mile per hour winds. That sounds like Buffalo to me.
Yeah. All right. I'm all over the Bills. Final game of the noon slate, final red zone game of the day. Chargers, Jags, Tyler. I don't just like this game. I love this game.
All right. You're going to have to talk me into this one because I just want to watch this one.
Okay. We got to clip our fucking noses, man. I think this is all Jacksonville. You're getting a 3-point home dog in November, a team that, despite how they look, is 5-4. A team absolutely nobody wants to bet. Only 13% of the money is on Jacksonville at this point on the money line. 31% of the bets are on them on the spread per PFF, our friends at PFF. Lawrence blows, right? Like, we know the offense is terrible. Can't get Brian Thomas Jr. going. The run game stinks. The O-line stinks. There's been questions about the play calling. Lawrence sucks. Chargers laying 3. It's easy, right? My problem with the Chargers is how last week against the Steelers, it said more to me about the Steelers D-line than it did about the Chargers O-line. The comprehensive body of work is the Chargers cannot keep Herbert upright. Yeah. Jacksonville, despite an iffy defense, can get after it a little bit up front. And I think Chargers going east to west, or west to east rather, all the way to Jacksonville, one of the longest trips in the NFL, going to be playing outdoors in the heat without your tackles, and you're going to rely on a passing offense to work against Jacksonville on the road. I just think this number's a little out of control. I'm taking the 3 with the Jags.
Yeah, I'll join you, actually. I like the rationale there, especially the traveling stuff. It's a lot that you're going to be asking L.A. to do. And you're right. Like, the Sunday night game did kind of tell a story, even though it was a victorious one for the Chargers. It did kind of tell a story of what they are. It's kind of, I think you probably feel the same way about some of these Charger wins as you do about some of the way that the Packers win. Like, yeah, they're not a bad team. They're fine, but some of these injuries are going to be what hold them back from being a truly great and perhaps even a division winning team. So I'll join you on this. I like the rationale there.
They also grade out as one of the two worst special teams units. Not that anybody, like, I'm not capping special teams, but you always hear about this in the NFL. When you're a favorite, a big favorite, you're going on the road, you're playing an inferior team, the script to losing is special teams error. And the Chargers have proved they can do it. So I love Jacksonville here at home getting 3. I love home dogs to begin with in this league, but that spot to me screamed, I'm making that bet.
Sounds good.
All right, let's move to the 3:00. Why this is on at 3:05 and it's not Fox Game of the Week, I have absolutely no idea. The 7-2 Seahawks travel to SoFi to take on the 7-2 Rams in another game that I don't like, Tyler, I love. And it is the team, I think we both agree, is the best in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And it may not even be particularly close at this point. Like, they are widening the gap, not shrinking it. I'm laying 3 with the Rams at home here. I think they're going to fucking crush Seattle.
Yep, I'm with you. Listen, anytime you give me the team that I perceive as the best in football and give me 3 or less, there's a pretty good chance, and at home, by the way, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be betting on that team. And that's what the Rams are right now. They are as complete of a team in football, the way that Matthew Stafford's slinging it right now, the way that the defense is playing. There's not much this team can't do. And one of the, I think, hallmarks of what makes the Rams as good as they are is the way that they kind of step on your throat right out of the gate. We saw it against San Francisco last week. They get out to this hot start. You get San Francisco out of whack, out of their game script. They're looking uncomfortable out there, and you just blew the doors off of them. I think it's going to be a competitive game because I obviously Seattle is A, healthier, and B, I think the way that everything's played out this year, more talented than San Francisco. But I still think it's one that LA wins comfortably. It's like a 7-10 point victory for the Rams.
Yeah, I love the Rams here. And it's Seattle, I feel similar to the way I feel about the Bears, where, look, Seattle's done it much more impressively, and I'm not taking anything away from them. I think their defense is outstanding. Mike McDonald is outstanding. But I think there's a moment where rubber meets road, and it's this week. This pass rush the Rams have put together, if you're going to hold the ball, not that Sam Darnold has this year, it's been the number one thing you could say about him. Last year, he held the ball forever. His whole career, he's held the ball forever. This year, he's getting rid of it. But behind a bad O-line, you're going on the road, and you're going up against this pass rush from the Rams. Like, Jared Verse, all he does is hit quarterbacks. I think this is the spot where the Rams remind everybody, we're winning the NFC West. Also, for all the talk that people say, oh, you only beat bad teams. Do you know how many winning teams Seattle's beaten this year?
One or two?
Two. Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. That's it.
Yeah, and are those both negative point differential teams? Maybe not Pittsburgh, yes. But
I believe Pittsburgh is at this point. Jacksonville for sure is. But yeah, they have not anybody good that they've gone up against. They lost to Tampa at home. They lost to the Niners in week one. Offensively, they struggled even against Jacksonville. They only scored 20 points. Like, anytime they play anybody good this year, they've lost. And I'm not sitting here selling you the college football stuff of, like, you'd rather win the games against shit teams than lose the games against shit teams. I'm just making the point they haven't beat good teams.
Now, they have done it impressively.
Are, now, yeah, that's the difference. It's like before my ass hit the couch, they were up 35-0 on Arizona, and you go, oh, shit. And Darnold has been Mr. Perfect for the last 6 weeks. This is a different level. Like, you can take care of business against these bad teams, and you do it in a way that's impressive and legitimate. And I said, even in the power rankings I did this week, I'd have Seattle too. I think the gap between them and the Rams is massive from a talent perspective. And I'm just at a point, like, the Rams, the only team top three, both offensive, defensive efficiency. They're grading out as the best team in football pretty much everywhere at this point. And I buy it. They were my Super Bowl pick. So yeah. I think they're going to crush Seattle.
I do think, too, this, and not to say that Seattle doesn't understand this, but I think it probably means a little more to LA and as a team that's been there, done that, and winning this division over the last couple of years. They know how important this game is for the division because Seattle is right on their toes.
Yep.
Like, they are right behind them, and objects in the mirror closer than they appear type of stuff. You beat them this time, you create a lot of breathing room because not only do you all of a sudden have the leg up in the division just from separation of the games back, but that's a big divisional win for you right there. Yep. So I think this is a extremely important game, and they know that. And this is going to be one of those ones where we're going to look at the end of the year and say, you know what, that may have determined the division. So.
All right, we'll keep it moving. The other 3 o'clock game, NFC West Theater, San Francisco and Arizona. The Cardinals, a 3-point home dog. Tyler, what do we say on this show? Division home dogs. Can I get you there? Are we betting Arizona?
I'm staying away in this one. I've just got no, I had no juice for this game. Like, and the NFC West works in weird ways. Now, I will say this. It is the way I would lean, even with Brock Purdy coming back. I don't think that makes a huge amount of difference in this game. Now, if you were telling me, like, oh, Brandon Ayuk's coming back or something like that, then all of a sudden, all right, I'm a little more intrigued. But the Purdy to Mac Jones difference here, I don't think is all that much. Jacoby Brissett, I think, came back to earth a little bit last week when you saw what happened in that Seattle game. I don't know how much I'm really supposed to take away from what took place, but he did look good on that Monday night game. So I'm kind of just in no man's land here on this game. I'm going to be dialed in anyway on Seattle and LA. So I'm just kind of kicking this one to the side.
All right. I'll pass it to, if I had to bet it would be Arizona. It's two things. One, I get a big a 3-point dog at home in a divisional game. Two, I think San Francisco, the fun runs over. They just can't. We saw it last week, man. Mm-hmm. Like, even with the offense working, and it was, Mac Jones played well, the offense played well, and they got demolished. They just can't. They can't sustain the injuries they've taken defensively. Fred Warner was the key one for me. Like, once that, it was only a matter of time. I think they're cooked. So it would be Arizona, but I'll take a note from you. I don't need to be all that focused. I also don't need to be all that focused on Baltimore and Cleveland. I'm not laying 7.5 on the road with a divisional game. I'm also not taking 7.5 with Cleveland. And I'll be watching the other game that's on at 325. In fact, I would imagine if you're a fan of either the Ravens or the Browns, because this will only be available in like the DMV and Cleveland on CBS, you're probably a little pissed off that that's the game that you're getting instead of the other AFC game.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Denver, 325 CBS, Nance Romo. This is theater. Denver is a 3.5-point home dog, despite being 8-2 against the 5-4 Kansas City Chiefs. Total in the game, 44.5. I'm going to let you lead it. God, I hope we are on the same side of this.
All right. Well, I'm going to the total verse here.
Okay, we're good.
I'm gonna play under 44.5 in this game.
We're good. We're so good.
These are two elite level defenses, and on the Denver side, you've seen what they've done all year. They get after the quarterback. They're great in pass coverage. They're just an all around well oiled machine. It's not necessarily with the flashiest of names, but they get it done. On the other side, with Kansas City, this defense, I think, could have really used the week off that they got last week. And I'm not going to downgrade you for a performance against Josh Allen, a guy who won MVP a season ago and is either the best or second best quarterback in all of football right now. I'm not going to downgrade you off of a performance like that. But offensively, I think this Kansas City team continues to get better and better. If you made me pick a side on the game, I would actually lean Kansas City. I feel like it's a little more real with what they are offensively versus what Denver is. Denver's kind of hung around and not gotten lucky in some of these games, but some of the heroics that have been needed for Denver over the course of the year, they've been living on the edge. Like that Giants game was a fluke. You're not going to repeat that 9 more times out of the 10. Even that Raiders game, not a lot of inspiring stuff offensively from them. I don't know where I'm at on this Denver offense, but I know where I'm at on the Denver defense. And it's a damn good unit that I'd be wary to bet against.
Yeah, I'm going to bet Denver plus 3.5 here. And it's just, again, it's a dog at home in a divisional game. They have the ultimate home field advantage. They get the altitude play. I'm not denying any of what you've said. I've watched this same Broncos team everyone else has. They probably shouldn't have beaten Houston, and they were fortunate that C.J. Stroud exited the game with injury, and they got Davis Mills. Vegas, you beat them 10-7 at home. Like, what? That watching Bo Nix was horrible. He stinks. But then there's also so many spots where they go out and they pump somebody and look like a bona fide Super Bowl team, like they did against Dallas when it was 44-24. The win they got over Philly proved a little bit of legitimacy. Like there's weeks where they look like a Super Bowl team, and then there's weeks where they look like horse shit. And it's been 2 weeks of horse shit. So I'm wondering if this is the one where everybody expects this is Kansas City's ultimate return of like announcing, no, we're here. We're going to the playoffs. We're probably going to be in the Super Bowl. I'm wondering if this is the week you get a Denver convincing win and you get the statement victory at home over the divisional opponent. You kind of put the Chiefs really in a tough spot for making the playoffs. I like Denver getting the 3.5. I don't even need them to win. I can't lay 3.5 for the divisional team on the road, especially at altitude. And that Denver defense, probably the best in football. It's them, Green Bay, Houston, for my money, one of those three. I'll take the 3.5 with the Broncos.
All right. I kind of see this game just being like 19-17. Pick your winner on either side, but like 19-17.
Yeah. It feels that way a little bit. All right. Detroit, Philadelphia. This is the last game I have a play on this week, Sunday Night Football. I'm not entertaining Monday Night Football. I think the matchup's a joke, and I want nothing to do with betting it. But this is easy. And I hate to do it to my Detroit family, who wants this team to win badly. My wife, who's a Lions fan. Tyler, we're going quad bomb on the Eagles.
All right. I'm glad we're aligned here.
I think the Eagles are going to kick their fucking teeth in. I don't think this is going to be remotely close.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I really like the Eagles in this spot, especially you're giving me inside a field goal. Eagles not looking good off of their last primetime spots, and now you've got a chance. And on the flip side, Detroit looked really good the other day. You had Dan Campbell with the play sheet, doing tricks with it, all that stuff. But now you've got this Philadelphia team who there's been a lot of turmoil in that locker room. A.J. Brown's been saying a lot of shit. Well, guess what? Now you get to go up against that practice squad defense, who's done a very good job for Detroit. I'll give them that, especially in the secondary. They've done a really good job. But if you don't think they're not overperforming, I don't know what you're watching. They're doing a great job, and Kelvin Shepard deserves a shit ton of credit for how he's gotten that unit together. But this feels like a game where, you know what? Let's let A.J. Brown be happy for a week. Let's feed him the football. And that's not a spot I want to be in if I'm the Detroit defense. I think this is a spot you're going to see the launch angle throws out of Jalen Hurts' hand. There's going to be a lot of downfield stuff for both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. I think they carve up this Lions defense.
I'd say the other thing that really means a lot to me on this is, and again, you don't apologize for wins in the NFL. It's hard to win in this league. You go on the road and do what you did to Washington last week. Nobody's going to take that away from you. But it is, every time I've seen the Lions play a good team this year, they've gotten popped. And like the Bucs game stands out as the one that they didn't, but that's really it. They went up against the Packers defense. They got clowned. They went to Kansas City. They got clowned. And now you're going to a Philly team where I think everybody's takeaway last week from this Monday night game was both these teams stink. Philly's offense is terrible. And look, they've got a play caller issue. I agree. I believe that that's true. They can't run the ball effectively with Saquon. That's true. But my takeaway was more, whoa, Jalen Carter's healthy. He was such a game wrecker. And the biggest concern I've had for the Lions all season is interior offensive line. I think Jalen Carter being present, healthy, available is a huge problem for an interior of the Lions O-line that is not protected well anytime they've gone up against a legitimate pass rush. I don't like this spot for the Lions at all going on the road on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you on this one.
All right, beautiful. Monday night, do you have anything on Cowboys and Raiders, whatever the hell this game is? It's disgusting.
Never.
Okay, Foxy. I want nothing to do. I might not watch it. It might be like a Monday college basketball night because I don't even care about that game.
Yeah, get you some Big Monday. Let's see if there's any good games Big Monday this week.
YouTube TV. Don't even worry about getting it set this week. We don't need Monday Night Football.
We're good here. We're good. No real good college basketball to go to, but
we got a Hawks game.
Let's see. Let's check the NHL schedule. Monday. I know they play Tuesday.
No, so we don't have a Hawks
Monday. How about the Bulls? We got any Bulls action on Monday? Any Bulls?
What alternative do I have to this terrible Monday night football game?
The Bulls are in Denver for a later tip, 8 o'clock.
Ugh. I wish baseball were back. Maybe,
you know what? You, sir, spent your birthday, your 31st birthday, going up and picking up some books. Why don't you read a book Monday night, huh?
That's a good call. There we go. I found it. All right. That'll do it. We're good here?
We're good.
Beautiful. That'll do it. It's a picks edition. I'll recap the card quickly. Just a moment.
I got mine. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I got the Jags as a 3-point dog. I've got Buffalo laying 5.5 against Tampa, under 42.5 in Green Bay, New York, over 49 in Cincy, Pittsburgh. The Rams laying 3 against Seattle in what's probably the game of the week. Kansas City and Denver under 44.5, and then Philly laying 2.5 against Detroit. This is a great week. I don't think I've really appreciated it. This is an awesome football weekend.
It's a great NFL Sunday. It's a terrific NFL Sunday.
This might be the best slate of the year.
It might be, at least so far. All right, I got Jags plus 3, Bills laying 5.5 at home against Tampa, Vikings laying 2.5 at home against the Bears, under 42.5 Giants and Packers, Rams laying 3 at home against Seattle. Boy, do I love home teams. Denver getting 3.5 at home against Kansas City, and the Eagles laying 2.5 at home quad bomb against Detroit on Sunday Night Football. There you go.
Lovely.
That'll do it for us. So week 11 picks edition NFL. If you missed it, the college edition is available. That was out yesterday, wherever you get your podcasts. And also, as always, available on YouTube, youtube.com/@pickaside ESPN. For Tyler Aki, I'm Shane Orling. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.